knows what a great warrior your father is and what brave soldiers he has. My advice is to gather all the fighting men of Israel from the town of Dan in the north down to the town of Beersheba in the south. You will have more soldiers than there are grains of sand on the seashore. Absalom, you should lead them yourself, and we will all go to fight David wherever he is. We will fall on him just as dew falls and covers the ground. He and all his soldiers will die. If they go into a walled town, we will put ropes around that town and drag it into the river. We won't leave even one small piece of a stone. Absalom and the others liked Hushai's plan better than Ahithophel's plan. This was because the Lord had decided to keep Ahithophel's plan from working and to cause trouble for Absalom. Jonathan and Ahimaaz tell David the news. Right away, Hushai went to Zadok and Abiathar. He told them what advice Ahithophel had given to Absalom and to the leaders of Israel. He also told them about the advice he had given. Then he said, "Hurry, send someone to warn David not to spend the night on this side of the river. He must get across the river, so he and the others won't be wiped out." Jonathan and Ahimaaz had been waiting at Rogel Spring because they did not want to be seen in Jerusalem. A servant girl went to the spring and gave them the message for David. But a young man saw them and went to tell Absalom. So Jonathan and Ahimaaz left and hurried to the house of a man who lived in Bahurim. Then they climbed down into a well in the courtyard. The man's wife put the cover on the well and poured grain on top of it, so the well could not be seen. Absalom's soldiers came to the woman and demanded, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" The woman answered, "They went across the stream." The soldiers went off to look for the two men, but when they did not find the men, they went back to Jerusalem. After the soldiers had gone, Jonathan and Ahimaaz climbed out of the well. They went to David and said, "Hurry, get ready to cross the river." Then they told him about Ahithophel's plan. David and the others got ready and started crossing the Jordan River. By sunrise, all of them were on the other side. Ahithophel kills himself. When Ahithophel saw that Absalom and the leaders of Israel were not going to follow his advice, he saddled his donkey and rode back to his home in Gilo. He told his family and servants what to do. Then he hanged himself, and they buried him in his family's burial place. Absalom puts Amasa in charge of the army. David went to the town of Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan River with the army of Israel. Absalom put Amasa in Joab's place as commander of the army. Amasa's father was Ithra from the family of Ishmael, and his mother was Abigail, the daughter of Nahash and the sister of Joab's mother, Zeruiah. The Israelites under Absalom's command set up camp in the region of Gilead. Friends bring supplies to David. After David came to the town of Mahanaim, Shobai, the son of Nahash, came from Rabbah in Ammon. Maker, the son of Amiel, came from Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came from Rogalim. Here is a list of what they brought: sleeping mats, blankets, bowls, pottery jars, wheat, barley, flour, roasted grain, beans, lentils, honey, yogurt, sheep, and cheese. They brought the food for David and the others because they knew that everyone would be hungry, tired, and thirsty from being out in the desert. David gets ready for battle. Chapter 18. David divided his soldiers into groups of 100 and groups of 1,000. Then he chose officers to be in command of each group. He sent out one-third of his army under the command of Joab, another third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, and the rest under the command of Ittai from Gath. He told the soldiers, "I'm going into battle with you." But the soldiers said, "No, don't go into battle with us. It won't matter to our enemies if they make us all run away, or even if they kill half of us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. It would be better for you to stay in town and send help if we need it." David said, "All right, if you think I should." Then, in a voice loud enough for everyone to hear, he said, "Joab, Abishai, Ittai, for my sake, be sure that Absalom comes back unharmed." David stood beside the town gate as his army marched past in groups of 100 and in groups of 1,000. Joab kills Absalom. The war with Israel took place in Ephraim Forest. Battles were being fought all over the forest, and David's soldiers were winning. 20,000 soldiers were killed that day, and more of them died from the dangers of the forest than from the fighting itself. Absalom was riding his mule under a huge tree when his head caught in the branches. The mule ran off and left Absalom hanging in midair. Some of David's soldiers happened by, and one of them went and told Joab, "I saw Absalom hanging in a tree." Joab said, "You saw Absalom? Why didn't you kill him? I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a special belt." The man answered, "Even if you paid me 1,000 pieces of silver here and now, I still wouldn't touch the king's son. We all heard King David tell you and Abishai and Ittai not to harm Absalom. He always finds out what's going on. I would have been risking my life to kill Absalom because you would have let me take the blame." Joab said, "I'm not going to waste any more time on you." Absalom was still alive, so Joab took 3 spears and stuck them through Absalom's chest. 10 of Joab's bodyguards came over and finished him off. Then Joab blew a trumpet to signal his troops to stop chasing Israel's soldiers. They threw Absalom's body into a deep pit in the forest and put a big pile of rocks over it. Meanwhile, the people of Israel had all run back to their own homes. When Absalom was alive, he had set up a stone monument for himself in King's Valley. He explained, "I don't have any sons to keep my name alive." He called it Absalom's Monument, and that is the name it still has today. Ahimaaz wants to tell David. Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, "Joab, let me run and tell King David that the Lord has rescued him from his enemies." Joab answered, "You're not the one to tell the king that his son is dead. You can take him a message some other time, but not today." Someone from Ethiopia was standing there, and Joab told him, "Go and tell the king what you have seen." The man knelt down in front of Joab and then got up and started running. Ahimaaz spoke to Joab again. "No matter what happens, I still want to run. And besides, the Ethiopian has already left." Joab said, "Why should you run? You won't get a reward for the news you have." "I'll run no matter what," Ahimaaz insisted. "All right, then run," Joab said. Ahimaaz took the road through the Jordan Valley and outran the Ethiopian. Meanwhile, David was sitting between the inner and outer gates in the city wall. One of his soldiers was watching from the roof of the gate tower. He saw a man running toward the town and shouted down to tell David. David answered, "If he's alone, he must have some news." The runner was getting closer when the soldier saw someone else running. He shouted down to the gate, "Look, there's another runner." David said, "He must have some news, too." The soldier on the roof shouted, "The first one runs just like Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." This time David said, "He's a good man. He must have some good news." Ahimaaz called out, "We won! We won!" Then he bowed low to David and said, "Your Majesty, praise the Lord your God. He has given you victory over your enemies." "Is my son Absalom all right?" David asked. Ahimaaz said, "When Joab sent your personal servant and me, I saw a noisy crowd, but I don't know what it was all about." David told him, "Stand over there and wait." Ahimaaz went over and stood there. The Ethiopian came and said, "Your Majesty, today I have good news. The Lord has rescued you from all your enemies." "Is my son Absalom all right?" David asked. The Ethiopian replied, "I wish that all your Majesty's enemies and everyone who tries to harm you would end up like him." David cries for Absalom. David started trembling. Then he went up to the room above the city gate to cry. As he went, he kept saying, "My son Absalom, my son Absalom, I wish I could have died instead of you. Absalom, my son, my son." Chapter 19. Someone told Joab, "The king is crying because Absalom is dead." David's army found out he was crying because his son had died, and their day of victory suddenly turned into a day of sadness. The troops were sneaking into Mahanaim, just as if they had run away from a battle and were ashamed. David held his hands over his face and kept on crying loudly, "My son, Absalom! Absalom, my son, my son!" Joab went to the house where David was staying and told him, "You've made your soldiers ashamed. Not only did they save your life, they saved your sons and daughters and wives as well. You're more loyal to your enemies than to your friends. What you've done today has shown your officers and soldiers that they don't mean a thing to you. You would be happy if Absalom was still alive, even if the rest of us were dead. Now get up. Go out there and thank them for what they did. If you don't, I swear by the Lord that you won't even have one man left on your side tomorrow morning. You may have had a lot of troubles in the past, but this will be the worst thing that has ever happened to you." David got up and went to the town gate and sat down. When the people heard that he was sitting there, they came to see him. Israel and Judah want David back. After Israel's soldiers had all returned home, everyone in Israel started arguing. They were saying to each other, "King David rescued us from the Philistines and from our other enemies, but then we chose Absalom to be our new leader, and David had to leave the country to get away. Absalom died in battle, so why hasn't something been done to bring David back?" When David found out what they were saying, he sent a message to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. It said, "Say to the leaders of Judah, why are you the last tribe to think about bringing King David back home? He is your brother, your own relative. Why haven't you done anything to bring him back? And tell Amasa, you're my nephew, and with God as a witness, I swear I'll make you commander of my army instead of Joab." Soon the tribe of Judah again became followers of David, and they sent him this message, "Come back and bring your soldiers with you." David starts back for Jerusalem. David started back and had gone as far as the Jordan River when he met the people of Judah. They had gathered at Gilgal and had come to help him cross the river. Shimei, the son of Gera, was there with them. He had hurried from Bahurim to meet David. Shimei was from the tribe of Benjamin, and 1,000 others from Benjamin had come with him. Ziba, the chief servant of Saul's family, also came to the Jordan River. He and his 15 sons and 20 servants waded across to meet David. Then they brought David's family and servants back across the river, and they did everything he wanted them to do. Shimei meets with David. Shimei crossed the Jordan River and bowed down in front of David. He said, "Your Majesty, I beg you not to punish me. Please forget what I did when you were leaving Jerusalem. Don't even think about it. I know I was wrong. That's why I wanted to be the first one from the northern tribes to meet you." But Abishai shouted, "You should be killed for cursing the Lord's chosen king." David said, "Abishai, what will I ever do with you and your brother Joab? Is it your job to tell me who has done wrong? I've been made king of all Israel today, and no one will be put to death." Then David promised Shimei that he would not be killed. Mephibosheth meets with David. Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, also came to meet David. He had missed David so much that he had not taken a bath or trimmed his beard or washed his clothes the whole time David was gone. After they had gone back to Jerusalem, Mephibosheth came to see David, who asked him, "Why didn't you go with me?" He answered, "Your Majesty, you know I can't walk. I told my servant to saddle a donkey for me so I could go with you, but my servant left without me, and then he lied about me. You're as wise as an angel of God, so do what you think is right. After all, you could have killed my whole family and me, but instead you let me eat at your own table. Your Majesty, what more could I ask?" David answered, "You've said enough. I've decided to divide the property between you and Ziba." Mephibosheth replied, "He can have it all. I'm just glad you've come home safely." Barzillai returns home. Barzillai came from Rogalim in Gilead to meet David at the Jordan River and go across with him. Barzillai was 80 years old. He was very rich and had sent food to David in Mahanaim. David said to him, "Cross the river and go to Jerusalem with me. I will take care of you." Barzillai answered, "Your Majesty, why should I go to Jerusalem? I don't have much longer to live. I'm already 80 years old, and my body is almost numb. I can't taste my food or hear the sound of singing, and I would be nothing but a burden. I'll cross the river with you, but I'll only go a little way on the other side. You don't have to be so kind to me. Just let me return to my hometown, where I can someday be buried near my father and mother. My servant Kimham can go with you, and you can treat him as your own." David said, "I'll take Kimham with me, and whatever you ask me to do for him, I'll do. And if there's anything else you want, I'll also do that." David's soldiers went on across the river, while he stayed behind to tell Barzillai goodbye and to wish him well. Barzillai returned home, but Kimham crossed the river with David. Israel and Judah argue. All of Judah's army and half of Israel's army were there to help David cross the river. The soldiers from Israel came to him and said, "Why did our relatives from Judah sneak you and your family and your soldiers across the Jordan?" The people of Judah answered, "Why are you so angry? We are the king's relatives. He didn't give us any food, and we didn't take anything for ourselves." Those from Israel said, "King David belongs to us 10 times more than he belongs to you. Why didn't you think we were good enough to help you? After all, we were the first ones to think of bringing him back." The people of Judah spoke more harshly than the people of Israel. Sheba rebels against David. Chapter 20. A troublemaker from the tribe of Benjamin was there. His name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, and he blew a trumpet to get everyone's attention. Then he said, "People of Israel, David, the son of Jesse, doesn't belong to us. Let's go home." So they stopped following David and went off with Sheba. But the people of Judah stayed close to David all the way from the Jordan to Jerusalem. David's 10 wives. David had left 10 of his wives in Jerusalem to take care of his palace, but when he came back, he had them taken to another house, and he placed soldiers there to guard them. He gave them whatever they needed, but he never slept with any of them again. They had to live there for the rest of their lives as if they were widows. The army goes after Sheba. David said to Amasa, 3 days from now I want you and all of Judah's army to be here. Amasa started bringing the army together, but it was taking him more than 3 days. So David said to Abishai, Sheba will hurt us more than Absalom ever did. Take my best soldiers and go after him. We don't want him to take over any walled cities and get away from us. Joab kills Amasa. Abishai left Jerusalem to try and capture Sheba. He took along Joab and his soldiers, as well as David's bodyguard and best troops. They had gone as far as the big rock at Gibeon when Amasa caught up with them. Joab had a dagger strapped around his waist over his military uniform, but it fell out as he started toward Amasa. Joab said, "Amasa, my cousin, how are you?" Then Joab took hold of Amasa's beard with his right hand, so he could greet him with a kiss. Amasa did not see the dagger in Joab's other hand. Joab stuck it in Amasa's stomach, and his insides spilled out on the ground. Joab only struck him once, but Amasa was dying. Joab and his brother Abishai went off to chase Sheba. One of Joab's soldiers stood by Amasa and shouted, "If any of you like Joab, and if you are for David, then follow Joab." Amasa was still rolling in his own blood in the middle of the road. The soldier who had shouted noticed that everyone who passed by would stop, so he dragged Amasa off the road and covered him with a blanket. After this, no one else stopped. They all walked straight past him on their way to help Joab capture Sheba. Sheba hides out in the town of Abel. Sheba had gone through all of the tribes of Israel when he came to the town of Abel Beth-Maacah. All of his best soldiers met him there and followed him into the town. Joab and his troops came and surrounded Abel so that no one could go in or come out. They made a dirt ramp up to the town wall and then started to use a battering ram to knock the wall down. A wise woman saves the town. A wise woman shouted from the top of the wall, "Listen to me, listen to me. I have to talk to Joab. Tell him to come here." When he came, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" "Yes, I am," he answered. She said, "Please listen to what I have to say." "All right," he said. "I'll listen." She said, "Long ago, people used to say, if you want good advice, go to the town of Abel to get it. The answers they got here were all that was needed to settle any problem. We are Israelites, and we want peace. You can trust us. Why are you trying to destroy a town that's like a mother in Israel? Why do you want to wipe out the Lord's people?" Joab answered, "No, no, I'm not trying to wipe you out or destroy your town. That's not it at all. There's a man in your town from the hill country of Ephraim. His name is Sheba, and he is the leader of a rebellion against King David. Turn him over to me, and we will leave your town alone." The woman told Joab, "We will throw his head over the wall." She went to the people of the town and talked them into doing it. They cut off Sheba's head and threw it to Joab. Joab blew a signal on his trumpet, and the soldiers returned to their homes. Joab went back to David in Jerusalem. Another list of David's officials. Joab was the commander of Israel's entire army. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was in command of David's bodyguard. Adoram was in charge of the slave labor force. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, kept government records. Sheva was the secretary. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. Ira from Jair was David's priest.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
The Gibeonites hang Saul's descendants. Chapter 21. While David was king, there were 3 years in a row when the nation of Israel could not grow enough food. So David asked the Lord for help, and the Lord answered, "Saul and his family are guilty of murder, because he had the Gibeonites killed." The Gibeonites were not Israelites. They were descendants of the Amorites. The people of Israel had promised not to kill them, but Saul had tried to kill them because he wanted Israel and Judah to control all the land. David had the Gibeonites come, and he talked with them. He said, "What can I do to make up for what Saul did, so that you'll ask the Lord to be kind to his people again?" The Gibeonites answered, "Silver and gold from Saul and his family are not enough. On the other hand, we don't have the right to put any Israelite to death." David said, "I'll do whatever you ask." They replied, "Saul tried to kill all our people so that none of us would be left in the land of Israel. Give us 7 of his descendants. We will hang these men near the place where the Lord is worshipped in Gibeah, the hometown of Saul, the Lord's chosen king." "I'll give them to you," David said. David had made a promise to Jonathan with the Lord as his witness, so he spared Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul. But Saul and Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, had 2 sons named Armoni and Mephibosheth. Saul's daughter Merab had 5 sons, whose father was Adriel, the son of Barzillai from Meholah. David took Rizpah's 2 sons and Merab's 5 sons and turned them over to the Gibeonites, who hanged all 7 of them on the mountain near the place where the Lord was worshipped. This happened right at the beginning of the barley harvest. Rizpah takes care of the bodies. Rizpah spread out some sackcloth on a nearby rock. She wouldn't let the birds land on the bodies during the day, and she kept the wild animals away at night. She stayed there from the beginning of the harvest until it started to rain. The burial of Saul and his descendants. Earlier, the Philistines had killed Saul and Jonathan on Mount Gilboa and had hung their bodies in the town square at Beth-shan. The people of Jabesh in Gilead had secretly taken the bodies away, but David found out what Saul's wife, Rizpah, had done, and he went to the leaders of Jabesh to get the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan. David had their bones taken to the land of Benjamin and buried in a side room in Saul's family burial place. Then he gave orders for the bones of the men who had been hanged to be buried there. It was done, and God answered prayers to bless the land. The descendants of the Rephaim. One time David got very tired when he and his soldiers were fighting the Philistines. One of the Philistine warriors was Ishbibenob, who was a descendant of the Rephaim, and he tried to kill David. Ishbibenob was armed with a new sword, and his bronze spearhead alone weighed 7.5 pounds. But Abishai came to the rescue and killed the Philistine. David's soldiers told him, "We can't let you risk your life in battle anymore. You give light to our nation, and we want that flame to keep burning." There was another battle with the Philistines at Gob, where Sibbecai from Husha killed a descendant of the Rephaim named Saph. There was still another battle with the Philistines at Gob. A soldier named Elhanan killed Goliath from Gath, whose spear shaft was like a weaver's beam. Elhanan's father was Jairi from Bethlehem. There was another war, this time in Gath. One of the enemy soldiers was a descendant of the Rephaim. He was as big as a giant and had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. But when he made fun of Israel, David's nephew Jonathan killed him. Jonathan was the son of David's brother Shimei. David and his soldiers killed these 4 men who were descendants of the Rephaim from Gath. David sings to the Lord. Chapter 22. David sang a song to the Lord after the Lord had rescued him from his enemies, especially Saul. These are the words to David's song. Our Lord and our God, you are my mighty rock, my fortress, my protector. You are the rock where I am safe. You are my shield, my powerful weapon, and my place of shelter. You rescue me and keep me from being hurt. I praise you, our Lord. I prayed to you, and you rescued me from my enemies. Death, like ocean waves, surrounded me, and I was almost swallowed by its flooding waters. Ropes from the world of the dead had coiled around me, and death had set a trap in my path. I was in terrible trouble when I called out to you, but from your temple you heard me and answered my prayer. Earth shook and shivered. The columns supporting the sky rocked back and forth. You were angry and breathed out smoke, scorching heat, and fiery flames spewed from your mouth. You opened the heavens like curtains, and you came down with storm clouds under your feet. You rode on the backs of flying creatures. You appeared with the wind as wings. Darkness was your tent. Thunder clouds filled the sky, hiding you from sight. Fiery coals lit up the sky in front of you. Lord Most High, your voice thundered from the heavens. You scattered your enemies with arrows of lightning. You roared at the sea, and its deepest channels could be seen. You snorted, and the earth shook to its foundations. You reached down from heaven, and you lifted me from deep in the ocean. You rescued me from enemies who were hateful and too powerful for me. On the day disaster struck, they came and attacked, but you defended me. When I was fenced in, you freed and rescued me, because you love me. You are good to me, Lord, because I do right, and you reward me because I am innocent. I do what you want and never turn to do evil. I keep your laws in mind and never turn away from your teachings. I obey you completely and guard against sin. You have been good to me because I do right. You have rewarded me for being innocent by your standards. You are always loyal to your loyal people, and you are faithful to the faithful. With all who are sincere, you are sincere, but you treat the unfaithful as their deeds deserve. You rescue the humble, but you look for ways to put down the proud. Our Lord and God, you are my lamp. You turn darkness to light. You help me defeat armies and capture cities. Your way is perfect, Lord, and your word is correct. You are a shield for those who run to you for help. You alone are God. Only you are a mighty rock. You are my strong fortress, and you set me free. You make my feet run as fast as those of a deer, and you help me stand on the mountains. You teach my hands to fight, and my arms to use a bow of bronze. You alone are my shield, and by coming to help me, you have made me famous. You clear the way for me, and now I won't stumble. I kept chasing my enemies until I caught them and destroyed them. I destroyed them. I stuck my sword through my enemies, and they were crushed under my feet. You helped me win victories and forced my attackers to fall victim to me. You made my enemies run, and I killed them. They cried out for help, but no one saved them. They called out to you, but there was no answer. I ground them to dust, and I squashed them like mud in the streets. You rescued me from my stubborn people and made me the leader of foreign nations, who are now my slaves. They obey and come crawling. They have lost all courage, and from their fortresses they come trembling. You are the living Lord. I will praise you. You are a mighty rock. I will honor you for keeping me safe. You took revenge for me, and you put nations in my power. You protected me from violent enemies, and you made me much greater than all of them. I will praise you, Lord, and I will honor you among the nations. You give glorious victories to your chosen king. Your faithful love for David and for his descendants will never end. David's last words. Chapter 23. These are the last words of David, the son of Jesse. The God of Jacob chose David and made him a great king. The mighty God of Israel loved him. When God told him to speak, David said, "The Spirit of the Lord has told me what to say. Our mighty rock, the God of Jacob, told me. A ruler who obeys God and does right is like the sunrise on a cloudless day, or like rain that sparkles on the grass. I have ruled this way, and God will never break his promise to me. God's promise is complete and unchanging. He will always help me and give me what I hope for. But evil people are pulled up like thorn bushes. They are not dug up by hand, but with a sharp spear, and are burned on the spot." The Three Warriors. These are the names of David's warriors. Ish-bosheth, the son of Hachmon, was the leader of the three warriors. In one battle he killed 800 men with his spear. The next one of the three warriors was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahoite. One time when the Philistines were at war with Israel, he and David dared the Philistines to fight them. Every one of the Israelite soldiers turned and ran, except Eleazar. He killed Philistines until his hand was cramped, and he couldn't let go of his sword. When Eleazar finished, all the Israelite troops had to do was come back and take the enemy's weapons and armor. The Lord gave Israel a great victory that day. Next was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. One time the Philistines brought their army together to destroy a crop of peas growing in a field near Lehi. The rest of Israel's soldiers ran away from the Philistines, but Shammah stood in the middle of the field and killed the Philistines. The crops were saved, and the Lord gave Israel a great victory. One year at harvest time, the three warriors went to meet David at Adullam Cave. The Philistine army had set up camp in Rephaim Valley and had taken over Bethlehem. David was in his fortress, and he was very thirsty. He said, "I wish I had a drink from the well by the gate at Bethlehem." The three warriors sneaked into the Philistine camp and got some water from the well near Bethlehem's gate. But after they brought the water back to David, he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as a sacrifice and said to the Lord, "I can't drink this water. It's like the blood of these men who risked their lives to get it for me." The three warriors did these brave deeds. The 30 Warriors. Joab's brother Abishai was the leader of the 30 warriors, and in one battle he killed 300 men with his spear. He was as famous as the three warriors, and certainly just as famous as the rest of the 30 warriors. He was the commander of the 30 warriors, but he still did not become one of the three warriors. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was a brave man from Kabzeel, who did some amazing things. he killed two of Moab's best fighters, and on a snowy day he went down into a pit and killed a lion. Another time he killed an Egyptian as big as a giant. The Egyptian was armed with a spear, but Benaiah only had a club. Benaiah grabbed the spear from the Egyptian and killed him with it. Benaiah did these things. He never became one of the three warriors, but he was just as famous as they were, and certainly just as famous as the rest of the 30 warriors. David made him the leader of his bodyguard. Some of the 30 warriors were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo from Bethlehem, Shammah from Herod, Elika from Herod, Helez the Paltite, Ira the son of Ikesh from Tekoa, Abiezer from Anatoth, Mabunai the Hushathite, Zalmun the Ahohite, Maharai from Netopha, Heleb the son of Baana from Netopha, Ittai, the son of Ribai from Gibeah of the tribe of Benjamin, Benaiah from Pirathon, Hidai from the streams on Mount Gaash, Abialban from Beth Araba, Asmaveth from Bahurim, Eliaba from Shealban, Jashan, Jonathan, the son of Shema, the Hararite, Ahiam, the son of Sharer, the Hararite, Eliphelet, the son of Ahazbi, from Maacah, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, from Gilo, Hezro, from Carmel, Peori, the Arbite, Igal, the son of Nathan, from Zobah, Bani, the Gadite, Zelek from Ammon, Nahari from Beeroth, who carried the weapons of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite. There were 37 in all. David counts the people. Chapter 24. The Lord was angry at Israel again, and he made David think it would be a good idea to count the people in Israel and Judah. So David told Joab and the army officers, "Go to every tribe in Israel, from the town of Dan in the north all the way south to Beersheba, and count everyone who can serve in the army. I want to know how many there are." Joab answered, "I hope the Lord your God will give you 100 times more soldiers than you already have. I hope you will live to see that day. But why do you want to do a thing like this?" But when David refused to change his mind, Joab and the army officers went out and started counting the people. They crossed the Jordan River and began with Aroer and the town in the middle of the river valley. From there they went toward Gad, and on as far as Jazer. They went to Gilead, and to Kadesh in Syria. Then they went to Dan, Ijon, and on toward Sidon. They came to the fortress of Tyre, then went through every town of the Hivites and the Canaanites. Finally they went to Beersheba in the southern desert of Judah. After they had gone through the whole land, they went back to Jerusalem. It had taken them 9 months and 20 days. Joab came and told David, "In Israel there are 800,000 who can serve in the army, and in Judah there are 500,000. The Lord punishes David. After David had everyone counted, he felt guilty and told the Lord, "What I did was stupid and terribly wrong. Lord, please forgive me." Before David even got up the next morning, the Lord had told David's prophet, Gad, to take a message to David. Gad went to David and told him, "You must choose one of three ways for the Lord to punish you. Will there be 7 years when the land won't grow enough food for your people? Or will your enemies chase you and make you run from them for 3 months? Or will there be 3 days of horrible disease in your land? Think about it and decide, because I have to give your answer to God who sent me." David was really frightened and said, "It's a terrible choice to make, but the Lord is kind, and I'd rather have him punish us than for anyone else to do it." So that morning, the Lord sent an angel to spread a horrible disease everywhere in Israel, from Dan to Beersheba. And before it was over, 70,000 people had died. When the angel was about to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord felt sorry for all the suffering he had caused, and told the angel, "That's enough. Don't touch them." This happened at the threshing place that belonged to Araunah, the Jebusite. David saw the angel killing everyone and told the Lord, "These people are like sheep with me as their shepherd. I have sinned terribly, but they have done nothing wrong. Please punish me and my family instead of them." David buys Araunah's threshing place. That same day, the prophet Gad came and told David, "Go to the threshing place that belongs to Araunah and build an altar there for the Lord." So David went. Araunah looked and saw David and his soldiers coming up toward him. He went over to David, bowed down low, and said, "Your Majesty, why have you come to see me?" David answered, "I've come to buy your threshing place. I have to build the Lord an altar here so this disease will stop killing the people." Araunah said, "Take whatever you want and offer your sacrifice. Here are some oxen for the sacrifice. You can use the threshing boards and the wooden yokes for the fire. Take them. They're yours. I hope the Lord your God will be pleased with you." But David answered, "No, I have to pay you for what they're worth. I can't offer the Lord my God a sacrifice that I got for nothing." So David bought the threshing place and the oxen for 50 pieces of silver. Then he built an altar for the Lord. He sacrificed animals and burned them on the altar. The Lord answered the prayers of the people, and no one else died from the terrible disease.
This ends 2 Samuel. You have been listening to The Holy Bible, The Historical Books of the Old Testament, Part 2, narrated by George Wilson. The Historical Books of the Old Testament, Part 3, Kings, narrated by Robert O'Keefe and Christina Moore. And now, 1 Kings, narrated by Robert O'Keefe and Christina Moore.
1 Kings. About this book. 1 Kings is the first half of a single book that was divided into two parts, 1 and 2 Kings, because together they were too long to fit on one scroll. These books continue the history of Israel. The book of 1 Kings has three parts. The first part tells about the last years of King David's life and how his son Solomon became the king of Israel. The second part includes events from Solomon's rule and tells how famous and rich he was. Much of this second part tells how Solomon built and dedicated the temple in Jerusalem. The last part of the book reports what happened after Solomon's death. The northern tribes rebelled against Rehoboam his son, and the nation of Israel was divided into two separate kingdoms, Judah in the south and Israel in the north. This part of 1 Kings includes stories about the kings of these two kingdoms. The book concludes with the rule of King Jehoshaphat of Judah and King Ahaziah of Israel. Each king in the book is judged according to his faithfulness to the Lord. If the king was faithful and obeyed God's law, he was praised as being good. But if he disobeyed and did wrong, he was condemned as being evil. All the kings of Israel were judged to be evil because they rejected the Lord and worshipped idols. However, most of the kings of Judah were judged to be good, because they followed the example of their ancestor King David and worshipped the Lord. David in his old age. Chapter 1. King David was now an old man, and he always felt cold, even under a lot of blankets. His officials said, "Your Majesty, we will look for a young woman to take care of you. She can lie down beside you and keep you warm." They looked everywhere in Israel until they found a very beautiful young woman named Abishag, who lived in the town of Shunem. They brought her to David, and she took care of him. But David did not have sex with her. Adonijah tries to become king. Adonijah was the son of David and Haggith. He was Absalom's younger brother and was very handsome. One day Adonijah started bragging, "I'm going to make myself king." So he got some chariots and horses, and he hired 50 men as bodyguards. David did not want to hurt his feelings, so he never asked Adonijah why he was doing these things. Adonijah met with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar the priest, and asked them if they would help him become king. Both of them agreed to help. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and David's bodyguards all refused. Adonijah invited his brothers and David's officials from Judah to go with him to Crawling Rock near Rogel Spring, where he sacrificed some sheep, cattle, and fat calves. But he did not invite Nathan, Benaiah, David's bodyguards, or his own brother Solomon. When Nathan heard what had happened, he asked Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "Have you heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith has made himself king? But David doesn't know a thing about it. You and your son Solomon will be killed unless you do what I tell you. Go say to David, 'You promised me that Solomon would be the next king. So why is Adonijah now king?' While you are still talking to David, I'll come in and tell him that everything you said is true." Meanwhile, David was in his bedroom where Abishag was taking care of him because he was so old. Bathsheba went in and bowed down. "What can I do for you?" David asked. Bathsheba answered, "Your Majesty, you promised me in the name of the Lord your God that my son Solomon would be the next king. But Adonijah has already been made king, and you didn't know anything about it. He sacrificed a lot of cattle, calves, and sheep, and he invited Abiathar the priest, Joab your army commander, and all your sons to be there except Solomon, your loyal servant. Your Majesty, everyone in Israel is waiting for you to announce who will be the next king. If you don't, they will say that Solomon and I have rebelled. They will treat us like criminals and kill us as soon as you die." Just then Nathan the prophet arrived. Someone told David that he was there, and Nathan came in. He bowed with his face to the ground and said, "Your Majesty, did you say that Adonijah would be king? Earlier today he sacrificed a lot of cattle, calves, and sheep. He invited the army commanders, Abiathar, and all your sons to be there. Right now they are eating and drinking and shouting, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But he didn't invite me or Zadok the priest or Benaiah or Solomon. Did you say they could do this without telling the rest of us who would be the next king?" Solomon becomes king. David said, "Tell Bathsheba to come here." She came and stood in front of him. Then he said, "The living Lord God of Israel has kept me safe. And so today I will keep the promise I made to you in his name. Solomon will be the next king." Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Your Majesty, I pray that you will live a long time." Then David said, "Tell Zadok, Nathan, and Benaiah to come here." When they arrived, he told them, "Take along some of my officials and have Solomon ride my own mule to Gihon Spring. When you get there, Zadok and Nathan will make Solomon the new king of Israel. Then after the ceremony is over, have someone blow a trumpet and tell everyone to shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Bring him back here, and he will take my place as king. He is the one I have chosen to rule Israel and Judah." Benaiah answered, "We will do it, Your Majesty. I pray that the Lord your God will let it happen. The Lord has always watched over you, and I pray that he will now watch over Solomon. May the Lord help Solomon to be an even greater king than you." Zadok, Nathan, and Benaiah left and took along the two groups of David's special bodyguards. Solomon rode on David's mule as they led him to Gihon Spring. Zadok the priest brought some olive oil from the sacred tent and poured it on Solomon's head to show that he was now king. A trumpet was blown, and everyone shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" Then they played flutes and celebrated as they followed Solomon back to Jerusalem. They made so much noise that the ground shook. Adonijah and his guests had almost finished eating when they heard the noise. Joab also heard the trumpet and asked, "What's all that noise about in the city?" Just then, Jonathan, son of Abiathar, came running up. "Come in," Adonijah said. "An important man like you must have some good news." Jonathan answered, "No, I don't. David has just announced that Solomon will be king. Solomon rode David's own mule to Gihon Spring, and Zadok, Nathan, Benaiah, and David's special bodyguards went with him. When they got there, Zadok and Nathan made Solomon king. Then everyone celebrated all the way back to Jerusalem. That's the noise you hear in the city. Solomon is now king. And listen to this. David's officials told him, 'We pray that your God will help Solomon to be an even greater king.'" David was in his bed at the time, but he bowed and prayed, "I praise you, Lord God of Israel. You have made my son Solomon king and have let me live to see it." Adonijah's guests shook with fear when they heard this news, and they left as fast as they could. Adonijah himself was afraid of what Solomon might do to him, so he ran to the sacred tent and grabbed hold of the corners of the altar for protection. Someone told Solomon, "Adonijah is afraid of you and is holding onto the corners of the altar. He wants you to promise that you won't kill him." Solomon answered, "If Adonijah doesn't cause any trouble, I won't hurt him. But if he does, I'll have him killed." Then he sent someone to the altar to get Adonijah. After Adonijah came and bowed down, Solomon said, "Adonijah, go home." David's Instructions to Solomon, Chapter 2. Not long before David died, he told Solomon, "My son, I will soon die, as everyone must. But I want you to be strong and brave. Do what the Lord your God commands, and follow his teachings. Obey everything written in the law of Moses. Then you will be a success, no matter what you do or where you go. You and your descendants must always faithfully obey the Lord. If you do, he will keep the solemn promise he made to me, that someone from our family will always be king of Israel. Solomon, don't forget what Joab did to me by killing Abner son of Ner and Amasa son of Jether, the two commanders of Israel's army. He killed them as if they were his enemies in a war, but he did it when there was no war. He is guilty, and now it's up to you to punish him in the way you think best. Whatever you do, don't let him die peacefully in his old age. The sons of Barzillai from Gilead helped me when I was running from your brother Absalom. Be kind to them, and let them eat at your table. Be sure to do something about Shimei son of Gera from Bahurim in the territory of Benjamin. He cursed and insulted me the day I went to Mahanaim. But later, when he came to meet me at the Jordan River, I promised that I wouldn't kill him. Now you must punish him. He's an old man, but you're wise enough to know that you must have him killed. David dies. David was king of Israel 40 years. He ruled 7 years from Hebron and 33 years from Jerusalem. Then he died and was buried in Jerusalem. His son Solomon became king and took control of David's kingdom. Adonijah is killed. One day Adonijah went to see Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, and she asked, "Is this a friendly visit?" "Yes, I just want to talk with you." "All right," she told him, "go ahead." "You know that I was king for a little while," Adonijah replied, "and everyone in Israel accepted me as their ruler. But the Lord wanted my brother to be king, so now things have changed. Would you do me a favor?" "What do you want?" Bathsheba asked. "Please ask Solomon to let me marry Abishag. He won't say no to you." "All right," she said, "I'll ask him." When Bathsheba went to see Solomon, he stood up to meet her, then bowed low. He sat back down and had another throne brought in so his mother could sit at his right side. Bathsheba sat down and then asked, "Would you do me a small favor?" Solomon